will not be easy.
In May 1961, a speech by U.S. President John F. Kennedy changed the course of human history.
Achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
In July 1969, Neil Armstrong became that man, the first human to walk on a celestial body other than Earth.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
35 years later, in January 2004, President George W. Bush called for a new vision of space exploration.
We will build new ships to carry man forward into the universe, to gain a new foothold on the moon, and to prepare for new journeys to the worlds beyond our own.
Though overshadowed by the war in Iraq, combating terrorism and other issues, Bush's vision has quietly become the driving force in remaking America's space program. Returning men to the moon is central to the vision, says Dr. Paul Spoudis, a lunar scientist at Johns Hopkins University who served on the President's Space Exploration Policy Commission.
But as we get more and more experience on the moon, more and more experience working with the moon itself, we'll start to make things that we can use on the moon from the moon. And once you've done that, you've taken the first step toward cutting the cord with the Earth.
Five steps need to be taken to realize the President's vision. First is fixing the space shuttle and getting it back in flight. Second is completing the International Space Station, using the shuttle as a workhorse to move critical parts and supplies.
The third milestone is to develop a new human space vehicle. They call it the Crew Exploration Vehicle, CEV, that will allow us to go not only into Earth orbit, but beyond Earth orbit, into missions to the moon and ultimately to Mars and other places. The fourth piece of the vision is to return to the moon, to return to the moon to do science, to learn how to explore, and to learn how to extract what we need from the resources of the moon. And the last milestone of the vision is the Mars mission, a mission to Mars and to other places.
Realizing this vision is the job of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, headed by Dr. Michael Griffin.
Completing the International Space Station, retiring the shuttle by 2010, managing the effective transition from the shuttle to the new crew exploration and crew launch vehicles are fully the equal of the tasks which were set before any earlier generation. I understand that many of you will question whether NASA has the wherewithal to carry them out. I believe we can.
But Congressman Mark Udall, a Democrat from Colorado, is among those who are not so sure.
I think many of us in the Congress, Democrats and Republicans alike, think that we're, in effect, going to ask NASA to do too much with too little when it comes to resources.
Dr. Griffin acknowledges that the costs of manned space exploration require cutbacks in other NASA programs, such as science and aeronautics.
We cannot afford to do everything that each of our constituencies would like us to do.
But Congressman Bart Gordon, a Democrat from Tennessee, is doubtful.
The reality is that the glowing vision that Congress was given 2 years ago bears little resemblance to the situation at hand. It is becoming painfully obvious to me that we are not going to get there from here.
Dr. Spoudis is more optimistic.
They're getting over $16 billion a year, and that's a lot of money. And I think that depending on how they approach the problem and how they begin to do it, I think they can go back to the moon on that amount of money. I think it's going to require some clever innovation. It's going to require some imaginative management, but it's certainly doable. And if it's not doable, then there's no future for the space program because they're not going to get much more than that.
If the Bush vision does return us to the moon by 2020, it will be 50 years after the Kennedy vision brought that first giant leap for mankind.
Beautiful, just beautiful.
Dick Krantz, VOA News.